and he's Venezuelan, and he was singing in the temple. Very melodious, he has a very celestial voice. And I was attracted myself, so I went to the temple to listen to him chant. So he finished chanting, and then he left. He went somewhere, just left, you know, after he chanted. So I was alone in the temple, sitting there, you know, looking at the deities. They have very small Gornat deities. And then Prabhupada's servant came up to the temple room, and he said to me, "Prabhupada wants to see you right now." "What? Me?" "Oh." So he takes me down to Prabhupada's rooms, which are downstairs. You know. He takes me down, and they plop me in front of... They put me in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada's sitting there, and I'm sitting down on the ground, you know, looking at Prabhupada, wondering what's happening. And all these... His servants and his secretaries are all there, you know, watching, looking at me, you know. And I had no idea what was going on, you know. So they're all looking at me, and his servant says to Prabhupada, "Liked very much the chanting in the temple. Was that you who was chanting?" So I was thinking, for a very split tiny second, I was thinking, what to say? Do I say it's me? It was me and get the nectar? No, I said, no, that would be lying to the spiritual. You have to be honest to the spiritual master. I said, oh, no. And then I bowed my head and I said, "No, Prabhupada, that wasn't me. I'm sorry. It wasn't me, you know. I was honest, you know." So then I looked up at Srila Prabhupada and he looked at me. He said, "Yes, but you chant very nicely also. I like your chanting also," he said to me. So, honesty is the best policy. And in the long run, you'll get good results, positive results from it, you know. Some pastimes of Prabhupada in Caracas, Venezuela. I'm trying to think. Memory fades away as you get younger. An interesting thing happened with some... There were some boys in Trinidad who came to see him. From India, but they live in Trinidad. There's a big Hindu community in Trinidad. So they came to see Prabhupada. And they were speaking all sorts of nonsense and speaking. They wouldn't even practically allow Prabhupada to speak. They were just speaking and speaking. On the in the Bhaktivedanta archives, this is misput as Delhi. But it is just at the time of Caracas, but it says Delhi. It's actually wrong. Because they thought, if they're speaking English, they're not from Caracas, but they were actually from English-speaking Trinidad and Tobago. So they were speaking and speaking. Finally, Prabhupada got a word in, and he said, "Actually, when you are speaking, even while you're speaking, I am chanting Hare Krishna," he said. And I looked at his, and his Adam's apple here was moving. So even silently, he was always chanting, you know. And as we say, satatam kirtiyantamang, continually. It's not that 16 rounds, 64, no. Continually chanting Hare Krishna. That is our process. So he was saying, "Well, even though you're speaking nonsense, I am still chanting Hare Krishna," like that. So he was, and we had some nice programs there. I'm trying to remember some of them. Memory is going. What else? When Prabhupada saw the deities of Gaura Nithai, he entered into ecstasy. And he said, "They have come so far, their lordships, from Mayapur. This is such a faraway place, and they have come." He started crying, Prabhupada. He was so impressed by their mercy that it was being given all over the world. He started crying, Prabhupada. And then that continued when he went to Atlanta later on. That time was very, very emotional. And those deities are still there. Prabhupada's rocker is still there, where he would rock on this rocker there. And you could go to Venezuela if you'd like to see. You know. He had his rocker in his garden. And he would put his rocker near a curb, like a cement curb there. And he would, with his left foot, he would push the rocker So the rock, it would rock, you know. So he would go like this with his foot. It was very interesting. And as it got warmer, he started taking his different clothes that he had, you know, chador and everything, hat, and he put them on the tree there. So as it got warmer, the tree would be filled with all Prabhupada's different clothes he had, like a Christmas tree, you know. Anyway, that's a little about Prabhupada now. Okay. Lord Chaitanya. Some pastime of Lord Chaitanya. Let's see. Jagannath Puri. As you know, Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Jagannath Puri, he was very much in ecstasy in separation of Krishna. He was always entering in very deep, profound states of ecstasy. So much so that the devotees would keep guard of him. So he wouldn't, you know, they were very careful that he wouldn't, you know, they would help him, you know. Of course, on one hand, they would help him. They would facilitate his moods. And so Damodar would chant verses according to the mood that Lord Chaitanya was feeling at the time. So the devotees were very sensitive to his moods. And at the same time, they were trying to protect him so that his ecstasy wouldn't, you know. But sometimes he would escape. So one of these times he escaped and he went along the bank of the ocean and he saw the ocean. He said he thought it was the Jamuna. And he jumped in. And it said he would float sometimes, he would go under, he would float. But he was just in ecstasy, thinking that the ocean was the Jamuna, like that. So the devotees, of course, they discovered that he was gone. What to do? Where's Lord Chaitanya? They went looking all over. All the devotees, you know, at that time, there must have been thousands of devotees there, and they all go to different places looking for him. Where is he? Where is Lord Chaitanya? They go to the town up further down on the, they go different places. They couldn't find him at all. And here they were, their service was to protect him, and he has disappeared. Some said he has given up this world, he has gone away. His pastimes are finished here. Some devotees started lamenting. Others who had transcendental vision knew he was still somewhere. Then they come to the shoreline of the... And they find one fisherman there who has... He's babbling and he seems like he's crazy. And he's like, what is wrong with you, sir? What's the matter? So I have just, because I fish at night, I found this ghost while I was fishing. Ghostly body, he was haunted body. When I touched the body, he came into my body, and I started chanting this Hari, 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 Hari. Usually when this happens with the ghost, because I fish at night, I usually chant Nrsinga mantra, and the ghost, it goes away. But in this case, when I chanted Nrsinga mantra, it got worse, he said. It was very... So Sarup Dharma said, oh, look, I will give you some mantras, calm down, give you some special mantras. He did some, you know, thing, and he calmed it. And then they took him to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he was so much in ecstasy, his bodily limbs had become separated. Because the fisherman knew Lord Chaitanya. He said, I know Lord Chaitanya. That wasn't Lord Chaitanya. Because he transformed completely. His limbs became long. Here we have, it's connected, but this disconnected. All these limbs become disconnected and stretched out. So it didn't look like, it looked like one of these, what do you call it? Aliens, you know, like an alien, extraterrestrial being, you know, that someone found, you know. So it wasn't Lord Chaitanya. Then he was still in this state, and several devotees had to take him because he was so long. They needed several devotees to carry him because he was so long, you know. And then they put him in one place, and they started chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And as they chanted the devotees, Lord Chaitanya comes back into his other form. And he comes out of his ecstatic trance. And he said, where am I? What have I done something wrong? He didn't know what was going on. Because he had been transported to this spiritual plane. So, which means that even simultaneously that this plane exists, the material plane, that spiritual plane simultaneously exists. So you can be inspired to go to that plane, even in this being in this material body, which you wouldn't be actually if you went to the other plane. So we have an hour. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 36, text 25-30. Because it's an hour, so we have to have more verses. Mahamatra Tvaya Bhadra Ranga Dwari Upaniyatam Dvipa Kuvalayapidao Jahi Tena Mamahitao Mahamatra Tvaya Bhadra Ranga Dvaryapaniyatam Dvipakkuvalayapido Jahitena Mahahito Mamahito Mahamatra Tvaya Bhadra Ranga Dvarya Paniyatam Dvipakkuvalaya Pido Jahitena Mamahito Mahamatrastvaya Bhadra Ranga Dvaya Paniyatam Dvipakkuvalaya Pido Jahitena Mamahito Ladies? Mahamatra. O elephant keeper. Toya. Bayu. Badra. My good man. Ranga. Of the arena. Dwari. To the doorway. Upaniyatam. Should be brought. Dvipa. The elephant. Kuvalapida. Named Kuvalayapida. Johi. Destroy. Tena. With that. Elephant. Mama. My. Ahitao. Enemies. Translation. You, elephant keeper, my good man, should position the elephant Kuvalayapid at the entrance to the wrestling arena and have him kill my two enemies. I'll keep reading the other ones. Arabhyatam dhanuryagash chatudashyam yatavidi vishas santu pashun medyan bhutarajaya mhidishu. Translation, keep the bow sacrifice on the Chaturdashi day in accordance with the relevant Vedic injunctions. In ritual slaughter, offer the appropriate kinds of animals to the magnanimous Lord Shiva. Ityagya pyarta tantragya ahuya yadu pungavam grihitva panina panim tato kruram vachaha. Having thus commenced, translation, having thus commanded his ministers, Kamsa next called for Akrura, the most eminent of the Yadus. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own hand and spoke to him as follows. Bho bho dana pate mahyam kriyatam maitram adrita nanyastvato hitatamo vidyate bhoja vrishnishu. Bobo, he called him, my dear. Translation, my dear Akrura, most charitable one, Dhanapate, you're the master of charity. Please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Among the Bhojas and Vrishnis, there is no one else as kind to us as you. Atastvam ashrita saumya kaurya karya gaurava sadhanam yatendra vishnum ashritya swartam adyagamad vibhu. Translation, gentle Akrura, you always carry out your duties soberly, and therefore I am depending on you. Just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals. Gacha nanda brajam tatra sutav anukudumbad asate tavihanena ratena naya machiram. Translation. This is the last text, 30. Please go to Nanda's village, Nanda Brajam, where the two sons of Anakadundubi are living, and without delay bring them here on this chariot. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Is this still Prabhupada? Purport? Huh? This is Prabhupada. This is not Prabhupada. But I'm sure it's close to they took also Vishwanath Chakravarti's. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the following interesting note. When King Kamsa said, with this chariot, He pointed with his index finger to a brand new attractive chariot. Kamsa thought that since Akura was innocent by nature, when he saw this fine new vehicle, he would naturally want to drive it and quickly bring the two boys back. But the actual reason Akura went on a new chariot was that it would have been clearly inappropriate for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to mount a chariot that had already been enjoyed by the wicked Kamsa. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalang Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitangtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitangscha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vridabhanu Sute Dev Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpattaryubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Potitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaitar Godadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukungaroti vachalam pungang langayate girimnyat kripatam aham bande, Shigurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shi chaitanya ishwaram. Hari Om Tat Sat. So the reason we chant these mantras is so that we appreciate the devotees in our line and we ask for their mercy to be able to speak. For without their mercy, you cannot speak properly about Krishna. With their mercy, even a person who is incapacitated, who is not a professional public speaker, he will become attractive because Krishna will help him present this knowledge.
Mahamatra tvaya bhadra rangadvar yapaniyatam dvipakvalyapido jahitena mamahito arabhyatam dhanuryagascha chaturdasyam yatavidi vishashantu pashun medyan bhuta rajaya midushe Ityagya pyarta tantragya ahuya yadu pungavam grihitva panina panim tato kruram uvachaha. Bobo danapate mahyam kriyatam maitramadrita nanyastvato hitatamo vidyate bhoja vrishnishu. Atastvang ashrita saumya. Karya Gaurava Sadhanam Yatendro Vishnum Ashritya Swartam Adyagamhad Vibhu Gatcha Nanda Vrajam Tatra Sutav Anakudundube Asate Tavihanena Ratenanaya Machiram.
You, elephant keeper, my good man, should position the elephant, Kuvalyapid, at the entrance to the wrestling arena and have him kill my two enemies. Commence the bow sacrifice on the Chaturdasi day in accordance with the relevant Vedic injunctions. In ritual slaughter, offer the appropriate kinds of animals to the magnanimous Lord Shiva. Having thus commanded his minister, Kamsa next called for Akrura, the most eminent of the Yadus. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows. My dear Akrura, most charitable one, please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Among the Bhojas and Vrishnis, there is no one else as kind to us as you. Gentle Akrura, you always carry out your duty soberly, and therefore I am depending on you, just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals. Please go to Nanda's village, where the two sons of Anakadundubi are living, and without delay, bring them here on this chariot. So here we are seeing the dealings of King Kamsa, okay, which are very diplomatic. And he is, as you can see, he is a very good planner. He is organizing things very carefully. You know, you go here, you do this, you're here. When they come in here, try to kill them there. If that doesn't work, we have these other situations will happen here, like this. And now they have, the only thing is necessary, they must come. How to get them here. So knowing that Akrura was, he's actually a devotee. So Akrura, who would best to bring them than a devotee, of course. And he gave them, he even facilitated chariots and so on. But also, Akrura knew that what King Kamsa's intentions were. So he, in some way, he was reluctant to bring them. Who would want to bring Krishna to some dangerous situation, you know? Or just like the guru. If someone said, oh, the guru, there's some danger here. We don't want to bring the guru to that place. Right? So we're thinking, oh, how to protect him. So devotees think like that. So at the same time, Akrura is knowing Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is already a destiny to be fulfilled here. In spite of all the arrangements that Kamsa is making, Krishna will triumph. Of course, it is said that because of this activity, Akrura had to suffer, I think, in the case of the Shaimantaka jewel. He had some reaction at that time for this incident of taking Krishna from Vrindavan. So it's interesting how Kamsa talks to Akrura, you know. He says, Bhobho Dhanapate, Bhobho. Not to be confused with Spanish, which Bhobho means a fool. In this case, it's my dear, giver of, master of charity. You're the most charitable. He is graciously glorifying the qualities of Akrura. At the same time, he is telling Akrura that he is a very trusted servant of the crown. Now, someone may ask why Akrura is involved with Kamsa, as one may have asked why Bhishma was involved with Duryodhana and like that. Because the crown was there. That was where they were dedicated, duty-bound. They had a very great sense of honor and duty as part of the Kshatriya code. And they were very loyal like that. So their loyalty was impeding them from... But they thought, well, the king is the representative of the Lord. I am his servant. So I will have to be the servant. I have dedicated. I have given a vow of dedicating some service to this monarch, or leader. So they had this, he had this obligation, as did Bhishma also, which he mentioned in many places. I'm obligated. I have this obligation, he said. So it is a way, diplomatic way, to flatter someone in order to get what you want. So in this way, Kamsa is making all arrangements. We see earlier in other places, he is sending constantly demons to try to kill Krishna and Balaram. It's interesting to note that he sent almost every day a different demon. I mean, he must have thought, well, I'm sending so much many big, powerful demons, and they're all being killed by Krishna and Balaram, these two little boys, you know. And this is from Krishna's, you know, when Krishna was very small, you know. So, you know, this is years and years he's sending every day some different demon, you know, to kill him, try to kill him. And it's not working, you know. So, I just, you know, he must have been getting a little frustrated, like, with this whole with this whole business of trying to kill Krishna. Where it seems it should have been, you know, well, maybe I can't kill them, you know. Maybe they're supposed to kill me, you know. But it seems he didn't have that. He didn't learn his lesson, you know. So here he's making what we call final arrangements for his exit. Of course, all these things are part of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna arranges this play to happen. Also, when he came as Lord Chaitanya, he had this, his pastimes, his play that he did, you know. In this play, he's also the producer. He has his own producer and director, producers. He has a whole production company, Krishna. And they're all devotees in charge of different aspects of the play, you know. For those Bollywood fans here, you know, Bollywood directors here. So he liked this, even though it seems that Kamsa at one point is somewhat in charge of things. Actually, Yogamaya is arranging Krishna's pastimes so that the Lord will be pleased to act in a certain way. Krishna is the executive producer. At the same time, he's the principal actor and director. So he's doing everything in the play, in one sense. But he's also the leading man, you know. It is now, in today, you see sometimes where the leading man is also the director and the producer, you see in the credits, you know. So this way, Krishna was doing everything. And to be a devotee means that play along, we facilitate Krishna's pastimes, you know. Even sometimes the devotees, in the case of Mother Yashoda, she saw that Krishna, when she looked in Krishna's mouth, she saw that all the universes were inside his mouth. So she at one point understood in a very quick moment that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the one hand. That everything emanates from him. Everything is in him. But quickly she thought, I must take care of Krishna. Just loving Krishna. That intense love of Krishna, since Krishna is the object and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is directly devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It wouldn't come into, under the heading of Agyata Sukriti, in one sense, because she's being controlled by Yoga Maya. In one sense. But she's controlled by Yoga Maya. So in this way, in this play of things, devotees are very careful not to interrupt the play. You know, as the devotees in Chaitanya Lila also are very careful not to break the mood that Lord Chaitanya was creating in these pastimes, Krishna. Krishna also had different moods in his relationships with his devotees. And devotees were very careful not to break the mood. I always give the example when I was young. I was acting on in a play on off Broadway. In New York, there are the big theaters, the Broadway theaters, where they have the big productions, and off Broadway means the little theaters that have little productions, you know. So I was doing a play called Molière Imaginaire, which was by Molière, the imaginary invalid, you know. And at one point in the play, I had to die on stage, you know. So at one time, one of the events, I had invited my mother and my grandmother. Now, my grandmother is an Armenian immigrant that came from Armenia. She hardly spoke any English, you know. So she came there, and she was sitting in the audience. And when it came to the time for me to die on stage, my grandmother jumps up. She comes running to the stage to try. She thought something was wrong with me, you know. So she said, so we had to, you know, I had to wake up a second and, you know, tell her to go back. So just to explain, there was a mood, and somehow or other, someone wants to break it. It sort of breaks the atmosphere of the play. So Krishna also has his play, and devotees are very careful not to break the mood of that play, you know. So this we can understand in these pastimes also, that simultaneously they're occurring, and Krishna, because he has different relationships with so many different people, and this was also explained when he actually arrives to the arena, wrestling arena, and it's explained in the Bhagavatam, different people, types of people see him in different ways, you know. And in this way, although in a normal play, the person has one particular role, Krishna's role is multi-roles. He has multi-roles, and different people are seeing him like from different angles. It's like you have an audience situated in different places, and they're looking down and seeing the actor, the principal actor, in a completely different way, each one. You know, sometimes there is an act where someone, the half of him is one thing, or a lady, and the other half's a man, you know. They turn one way, and it's the man, and turn the other way, it's a woman. I don't know if you've seen that type of play, but there's a type of play that they do that, you know. But in this case, actually, people actually saw, devotees and people in general, saw Krishna in different ways. This also happened when Krishna went as a messenger. He was also seen in the assembly. Different people saw him in different ways. Even envious people saw him as different than others. You know, everyone saw Krishna, but different people saw him in different ways. So like this, there are different relationships that one can have with Krishna. Yesterday, Tukaram Prabhu explained Krishna in Vrindavan. In one sense, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, in one sense. But there was this verse that we read in Brahma Sangita that says that everything is in Krishna, actually. What was the verse? Dibarchi eva hidashantarama pupetya dipayate vivrita hetu samana dharma yastadrigeva hicha vishnutaya vibhati Govindamari Purushantam Hambhajami. The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. So in this way, Krishna, I don't want to say it's all one, but in one sense, it is all one, Krishna. So in one sense, Krishna consciousness means to see Krishna everywhere. That's what Krishna meant in the Bhagavad Gita, yat karoshi rashnasi, that everything we offer should be done in Krishna consciousness, where we're offering everything to Krishna in that way. So everything we do is an offering. But who do you offer it to? You must offer it to someone you're seeing in everything. Krishna's hand in everything. This mood was also expressed by Prahlad Maharaj. When Hiranyakashipu asked him, "Where is your Lord here? Is your Lord there?" And he would look and he would see the Lord in that place. It's not that it was theoretical. He looked and said, "Ah, yes, he's there. Is he there? Yes, there. Is he there? Yeah, he's there." He could not believe, you know. So in this way, Krishna consciousness means that we are conscious of Krishna's existence in everything, and we can serve Krishna in any circumstance, in any place, in any time. That is the wonderful aspect of this process of Krishna consciousness. You can work, you can be a devotee in the temple, you can have a company outside, you could be so many things you can do and still see Krishna, Krishna's hand, Krishna's arrangements, helping you advance in spiritual life. So I thank you very much for your tolerating my spontaneity here. If there's any questions, we can take some questions. As a devotee said, we have a lot of time for questions. So, if someone would like to add something, is there a microphone for? Oh, here's a microphone here. For those who want to say something or add something or subtract, comment, corrections, you know, some corrections we'll take. There's one person there. Valiant soul. I hope this is a question I can answer.
Very well. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a good class.
What is your name?
My name is Bihari Gopal Das.
Bihari?
Gopal Das.
Gopal Das?
Yes.
It's a good name.
Thank you.
Gopal Das. My son is also named Gopal. Yes, my son, what is it? I'm practicing what Kansa was doing here. My dear son, please, make your question.
So, I was just wondering, what was there in Kansa and Jarasandh that Kansa went on sending demons for more than 12 years, practically every day? All were getting killed, but still he was not getting any clue that what he is doing. And Jarasandh came with such a big army for 17 times he was defeated, but still he was so foolish that he could not understand with whom he is fighting. But there was in 7th canto we see Maya Danav, when he was fighting with Lord Shiva, and he was practically mesmerizing Lord Shiva, because whomsoever Lord Shiva would kill, he would give them life back. But when he saw that Vishnu has now come in the form of cow and drinking the nectar, then he said, "Now because Vishnu has come, I should stop trying, because it seems that Vishnu is going to do what he wants, and I can't stop him." Why such an intelligence never dawned on Jarasandh or Kansa, when Maya Danav just at the very first sight could make it out?
The only thing I could speculate on is that somehow or other, they wanted to get Krishna's association. Prabhupada explains that Kansa was also Krishna conscious. You know, he was thinking, Krishna's going to come and kill me any day now. So he was thinking of Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains that actually this sort of Krishna consciousness is not really acceptable. In the verse, Anyavilashita shunyam gyana karmadhyanavartam anaku dena shi krishna anushilam bhaktir uttama, the best bhakti, bhaktir uttama, is that which is favorable. But Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport on that verse that it's also practical and active, which is interesting. Active and practically favorable. So both Charasandha and Kamsa's service was not favorable, although it's explained that even those who were inimical towards Krishna, they had some attraction to Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive. So even they were very attracted, you know, to Krishna. Somehow or other, they were very attractive to Krishna. So this is the nature of Krishna. And this is the nature of great devotees of Krishna. This is also in the verse about the six Goswamis, that they were attractive even to those who were sober and gentle, and also those of the ruffians were very attracted to them. Also, like that, everyone was attracted to Krishna. Somehow attracted to Krishna. You know, that is my speculation. Microphone for this young man there. What is your name?
Kaviraj.
Krishnadas Kaviraj.
Yeah.
not Goswami.
No. Okay. This is after what you just said, that Krishna being so all-attractive and Prabhupada being the preacher of Krishna consciousness and you being attracted to Prabhupada and you changed your life because of Prabhupada. And I just want to understand, when you were a disciple of such a huge figure, how did you cope with his absence and how do you still remain attracted to Krishna consciousness?
First of all, I'm not attracted to Krishna. I'm one of the people who are not attracted, for somehow, I've been trying not to become attracted to Krishna. If you become attracted to Krishna, you lose everything. So I'm trying not to be too attracted. Krishna, dangerous situation. Don't be attracted to Krishna. If you're attracted to Krishna, he will take everything away from you. Be careful. If you surrender to Krishna, he will accept your surrender. Devotional life is a fight. It's a struggle. Prabhupada explains it's a struggle to maintain your Krishna consciousness. Kali Yuga means that you're constantly bombarded with things that will take away your Krishna consciousness. It will suck it out, you know. So that means you have to regularly maintain that fire, that strength in Krishna consciousness. That is my advice, how to keep on as a devotee for many, many years. In spite of your different changes in your life that you'll go through. And everyone in this room will go through different changes in your life. So in spite of these changes, one must maintain his Krishna consciousness, his seriousness in Krishna consciousness. That's a fight. Because Maya is there, you know. There was a woman in Caracas, and Prabhupada asked for questions. So the woman said, "I think there's a lot of Maya in this temple," she said to Prabhupada. "There's a lot of Maya here in this temple." And Srila Prabhupada said to her, "If you know a place in this world that there is no Maya, we should all go there immediately." So he was saying that, you know, in this material world, even in the temple, there's always some chance of Maya, you know. So we must be very vigilant and very serious. This is another thing I got from this verse. Indirectly, Kamsa is glorifying Akrura, telling him, "You're a very sober person. You're a very sober person." He's like, "You're the ideal follower. You're very sober and serious." So this is what he's telling He was glorifying Akura in this way. But it indicates to us that sobriety, which is in Bhagavad Gita, it's dhira. This dhira is very important. To be a very sober, serious person. Don't take my example, but you should normally be very serious, you know. Krishna consciousness. One could be happy and serious at the same time. So, I hope that answers your question. Probably doesn't, but I tried my best. Another question over here, this young man.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Your name?
Kunja Bihari Das.
Kunja Bihari. That's a great name. All these great names, boy. Fantastic. How can you not be Krishna conscious? If you memorize everyone's name, you just become, think of Krishna all day, you know. That's what's good about being young. You can memorize things. When you get old, you can't. You don't even remember your own name. You know?
It's all about our spiritual master's transcendental mercy on us. My question is that even though Akruji knew from the beginning that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he never forgot about that at any point of time, even though he was bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura also, which was a displeasing job against the Brijavasis. But then how it happened that Akruji, at one point of time, he tried to hide the truth about the Swayamtak money from Krishna.
Prabhupada explains that about him, that he was not on a very high platform of devotional service in the one sense. You have to understand that the stories in the Bhagavatam are all progressive stories. That means they are showing examples of progress in devotional service. So it's not necessarily that how one was at one point he's going to be later on in the past times. You understand? So usually the Bhagavatam shows a positive progression in devotional service. Those are examples which are given in the Bhagavatam. Okay? So the same with the Akura and many other cases. There was the Jagabharat was there. So many other cases, and practically speaking, so many cases. Even Narada Muni was a progressive story. We don't think of Narada Muni as the son of a servant. No, we consider him at his most progress, highest progress in devotional service. And he got the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wasn't it? That's, you know, that's something. You have to be a little advanced for that, you know. And after that. Yes, the person in the back who didn't raise their hand. Yet? Oh, no. There's nothing. The person who didn't raise their hand. Which one is it? Hare Krishna. Welcome to the temple. Where are you from? Merry old England. Welcome to the Hare Krishna temple. Nice to have you here. So, no more questions?
One more.
There's a young man in the back. I'm practicing Kangsa's. You know. Kangsa was a very flattering person to you.
At the outset, I'd like to thank you very much.
What is your name?
My name is Srinathji Das.
Srinathji Haribol. I'm just being in ecstasy with the names. You know. Srinathji.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Is anybody named with, you know, not a spiritual name here? Be all devotees. You know. Srinathji, please.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank you for coming all the way to Bombay. And we are very much impressed by your spontaneous class today. Particularly, you started with Prabhupada Leela, went on to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, and then finally to the Bhagavatam. So my question today is, it's more like a comment than a question.
Okay.
You said you had association with Prabhupada in Caracas, and then maybe in Trinidad and some other places in Central and Southern America. Did you also have association with Prabhupada in USA and other parts of the world? Could you comment on that?
I went to see Prabhupada in Los Angeles. At that time, I sang Guru Pooj for Prabhupada. And he sent Satsarupa's servant afterwards. He said, his servant said, Prabhupada liked very much how you chanted. And then they invited me, which is very hard to do, they invited me on his morning walk in the park in Los Angeles. And it was not always easy to get on the morning walk because they would pick out devotees who would, you know, that was a special mercy, you know. So they presented me to Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, this is Jagajivan. Yes, I know him. He said he knew me, I guess, you know. And we talked just that on that morning walk together, you know. At the time I was preaching and I had opened the temple in Puerto Rico. This was 1973. Things happened very quickly in those years. You know, like 1 year was like you were here and there and gone and this and you were all over the world, you know. And I was explaining, at the time I was preaching at the colleges in Puerto Rico, in San Juan. And the Cubans were sending a lot of people to infiltrate the universities, the communists. So we were constantly confronting the communists. The only people that could actually defeat the communists were the devotees, because the only one had a real philosophy, you know. So I was explaining to Prabhupada, and immediately he said, what did they say? He wanted to fight, you know. Prabhupada wanted to fight, you know. I said, they say that they can create the perfect man by their process, communism. Prabhupada looked at me, where is the example of that perfect man? Was it Lenin? He killed so many people. He was a killer. Where is the perfect man? He was very defiant, you know, very... We went to Mr. Sethi's house with Giriraj Swami and Bhurijan Prabhu. And the family was saying how Sethi was attracted to Prabhupada in the beginning. Sethi was a big man, you know. How is it that he was so influenced by such a little man? So he said that Prabhupada, when he first spoke with him, he asked him what he does every day. Sethi said, well, I get up, I eat something, I go to work, I come back, I eat something then, and then I go to sleep. And Prabhupada looked at him and says, you're living just like a pig. So here Mr. Sethi, this big, you know, guy, and this little Prabhupada, he's saying, you're a pig, you know. So Sethi was thinking, well, this person has courage. This is Abhay Charanam. I must surrender to this person, he said. So he surrendered to Prabhupada. And to his last moment, he was Prabhupada conscious, you know, thinking Prabhupada would come and get him. And he Prabhupada did, I'm sure. So that was an example of someone who had some association with Prabhupada, and he was so benefited by it, you know. And his whole family, till today, they're strong Prabhupada followers, you know. The ladies are coming to chant every Tuesday. All the ladies of the family come every Tuesday at Juhu Temple, and they chant it. But they've only been doing it for 36 years. You know, not so much, but every Tuesday, 36 years, pretty good, huh? Very good service, you know. And something in India also, some pastimes, Prabhupada, India. A lot of the filming, I was filming Prabhupada. A lot of pictures and filming I was doing here in India, more in Mayapur. I remember when the our first building was not finished yet, when we would all go on the roof and we would sleep there. You know, and it wasn't finished, it was all concrete in Mayapur. And we were all sleeping there. The jet lag from traveling was very heavy. We weren't accustomed to it. So I was in my sleeping bag, and this was during the day, you know. And I barely sort of like wake up, and I look near me, and I see Prabhupada's lotus feet. And I immediately got up, I said. And Prabhupada is looking, he looks at all the devotees sleeping on the roof, you know. And he looks at them, he says, they have come so far, they have come such a great distance to this holy place, he said, just to sleep. The Prabhupada's, we call that black humor. Prabhupada is very humorous, just to sleep. Something, anything else? I'm trying to think. Memory's fading. Where else? Prabhupada. Have to be more Prabhupada conscious, you know. Of course, in India, Prabhupada was very active. I remember doing Sankirtan at one program. Prabhupada was giving the lecture, and he was watching us distribute books. And although he was giving the lecture, he was watching us at the same time. He was very happy that we were distributing books, you know. Even though he was giving the lecture, and maybe we should have sat down in the back and listened, but we were distributing books, and Prabhupada was very happy with that. So it's very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada to distribute his books, you know. So, if anyone wants to please Prabhupada, even today, that's the way to do it, you know. And anyone can do it. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are. I don't know if I told you the story last time of Vaisheshika's Prabhu's program in the U.S. where he distributes, where once a month, the whole congregation, everyone in the temple, congregation, women, children, everybody, one day of the month, everyone goes out and distributes books. Everyone. Every single devotee goes out one day of the month to distribute books. So once one woman comes with, girl comes with her dog. And the devotees say, why you bring your dog? And the girl says, I brought my dog to distribute books. Everyone laughed. Dog can't distribute books. What is this? So she takes out of her bag one saddle and she straps it on the dog. And in one side of the saddle, she puts a box with a hole in it. And the other side, she puts books. And she says to the dogs, now, go, distribute books. So the dog goes up to someone, row, 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 sits there, and the person looks. On the one side is the box, and the other side are the books. So they take a book out, and they put money in the box. So that day, the dog distributed 70 books. So if a dog can distribute books, who can't distribute books? And I had my doubts because I heard this from another person. So when Vaisheshika Prabhu came to Mayapur, I don't know, it was last year, year before last, I asked him in the Bhagavatam class if that story was true. And he said to me, yes, it's true. But we are going in this coming July to California, and we are going to verify ourselves and go and interview as much as possible the dog to learn his secrets. You know, what kind of barking he does, how he... You know. his barking techniques. You know. Maybe we'll go out. Maybe he'll let us go out with him, you know, in books distribution. We'll take some photos. Next time we'll have some slides of the dog distributing. I'm trying to do a book sequel to the Animals in Krishna Consciousness. A lot of devotees have stories of different animals that are, they're practically devotees, you know, and they express certain devotional sentiments. I'm sure many of you have had different experiences. If anyone has a really special one, you can please give it to me. I'm compiling this book. Photos would be appreciated, but it'll be very nice. The book will include also the pastimes in Krishna and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, even Prabhupada's pastimes, interactions with animals. So we'll have that also there in the book. You know, it'll be very popular book. You know, Animals in Krishna Consciousness. So we have 5 minutes more, or we can end it here. For those of people who have left their shoes very far away. Unless there's no more questions, we will end on a high note, on a positive note. Thank you again for tolerating us here. And any way we can serve you, please, you know, make your request in triplicate, and we will process it as as soon as possible. Hare Krishna.